I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
And it's the Luke and Pete Show. It's a Thursday. As I started talking, a burp started to form in my throat, but I'm managing to get through it with the level of professionalism I'd left behind at Absolute Radio.
You weren't that professional at Absolute Radio, were you?
Never burped on air. Never burped on air, even though I was always on the brink of doing so. Actually, that's a lie. My last link, my last bit of speaking on Absolute Radio, I specifically did a burp. Famously a burp?
Yeah.
And then I said goodbye. Yeah.
You don't get that kind of content at the BBC, do you?
Well, you did for about 10 weeks when I was on the Danny Wallace show on Six Music. So
a very small, short, truncated stint.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right, very prompt payers, though. Very prompt payers.
But very low payers, aren't they?
Very low pays. I got paid. I got an email from my agent. He's been quiet. the bloke who manages the finances anyway, paying me for a job that I did in April of 2019. I'm not going to name the band I did the work for, but I'm certainly going to name the record company. It was Universal.
Yeah, I remember doing some work when I first ever got a media job. It was at a football club's fan TV channel. And I was just gophering around, doing bits, getting teas, all the usual good stuff that you do when you're young. And they never paid me.
Right.
Never. I invoiced them and they never paid me.
Cool. Chelsea TV?
Yeah. It was, yeah. It was.
Yes, I guess. Were you there when... Was it Chelsea TV when Hayley McQueen got that phone call from that pervert?
That's Man United TV. That's Man United TV.
Is that Man United TV? Yeah. Very enjoyable. Where the man rang up just to talk about Gary Pallas's penis.
That's right, yeah. And in enjoyable. A way, in a strange way, I applaud it.
I do, massively. It was complimentary. It certainly showed the presenting chops of Hayley McQueen, but it still made me giggle because a man is compliment planting another man on the side of his penis.
I watched the phone in on the radio where I asked people to get in touch with all the great sporting memorabilia they had. It's probably quite fun, like, you know, some guy called up, so he had like a signed Muhammad Ali boxing glove, and it was quite good.
Cool.
And then one guy, obviously drunk, called up and did a good few minutes on all the things he'd stolen from AFC Wimbledon's old Plough Lane football stadium. And he was going, I've got exit signs, I've got entrance signs, I've got, yeah, I've even got spatulas from the burger van. It was an incredible piece of radio.
Contractors.
Yeah, no, it was an incredible piece of radio, but if you don't mind me saying so. It was utterly bizarre. But there you go. Yeah. It can happen. It's the perils of live broadcasting.
I was doing a bit of Wrestle Me, one of these Staccato podcasts with Mark last week, and he said that I can't remember the character's name, but he was the guy who would come out with The Undertaker before he was The Undertaker.
Oh, when Paul Bearer.
Mark Calloway. No, before he was The Undertaker, it was Mark Calloway, I think his name is, Mark Calloway, over in WCW. And he was like a New York style Gordon Gekko yuppie. And his thing was like a mobile phone. And Mark saw a live performance of WCW or wherever it was. And this guy smashed his mobile phone against somebody as an attack, and it smashed into pieces. And Mark still got a bit of that in his house somewhere, he says.
Wow!
So there you go. Weird memorabilia.
How was Mark even there? Where was it?
He was watching some wrestling. Like it was when they're in London, I guess.
Oh, okay, right. Huh, that's wicked. I wonder if anyone's got any other good memorabilia or actually quite poor memorabilia. Send it in, hello at lukeandpeacher.com. I'd love to hear from you. Because I remember for some reason when I was a kid, I think we went to like Haven Holiday Camp. Did you ever used to go to that kind of holiday camp? Okay.
Yeah, Haven, Butlins, all of that was our main holiday, to be honest.
And then there's like a kids club thing. And it was like, I think my memory's hazy because I was about seven, but it must have been a Redcoats type, whatever the Haven equivalent of Redcoats, doing entertaining and doing singing and cover versions of songs and dancing and all that stuff they do and like to entertain. And one of the guys who was working there, I guess I must have thought was really cool. He was performing and we were quite that near the front because we were kids. And he passed a bottle of water to us, like he handed out bottles of water, and I kept that bottle for ages because I thought, oh god, he's like a proper famous guy. And like I think bottled water was quite a novelty then as well, and I kept the bottle for ages. I have no idea why.
Handed by a guy from Butland.
Yeah,
that's enjoyable. Haven, right? Yeah, because you do kind of anyone on stage, you sort of go, oh my god, They're so famous. Even like watching like college, you know, college productions of like Guys and Dolls and Calamity Jane. Like these people who I would walk the hallowed halls of English Martyrs with, shoulder to shoulder, as equals. As soon as they got on stage, they became superstars. I was like, flipping heck. All of these people are so talented. I had no idea.
Were you ever involved?
No, I got involved backstage with it just to, you know, bask in some reflected glory, but I didn't really have a proper job. I think I was just sort of lifting things around.
I did a bit of the old backstage stage crew stuff as well at school. Mate, 30 feet from stardom, that's you and me. Isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, by the way, Pete.
It was the woman who was, Sheryl Crow was Michael Jackson's backing singer, wasn't she?
Oh, was she?
Before she became famous. Yeah, she did a lot, apparently.
There was a brilliant BBC story I saw earlier this week. It was basically a news article that promised to throw light on how MI5 are dealing with still working through coronavirus and maintaining security and stuff. It was a very noble pursuit in terms of an article about what they wanted to achieve. However, they ended up with this quote. You'll understand if I don't go into exactly the ways in which we are working and what shape we're in. But MI5 is at work in a whole variety of ways, flexibly operating in our job. Thanks. Basically, we can't tell you. We cannot tell you what we're doing, and you're an idiot for even trying to ask because this is MI5.
Yeah, the thing about MI5 is they're quite secretive. I'm imagining just alcohol wipes on the headsets. That's to the extent that they're working, I imagine.
Oh, and taking down 5G wireless masts.
Oh, mate, don't even start on them, mate.
Have you got your Tim Four hat on yet?
La.
You got it on?
Say again?
Have you got your Tim Four hat on? Tell us about 5G.
somebody on a WhatsApp sent us a little article about where I think an educational establishment, university, I'm going to call it, did tests on how effective tinfoil hats actually were with like 5G and different...
Nice.
different things, spectrum of the radioactive spectrum, and apparently most of them actually enhance the effect of things going in your head. So the very concept of a tinfoil hat is stupid because it actually amplifies the waves because it's made entirely of metal.
That's brilliant stuff. That is so good. did it go on to what would be effective?
No, it did, but it did experiment with different kinds of like centurion style, like just the general pointed hat, classic tinfoil helmet sort of thing. Yeah, it just basically said, you know, people are fucking stupid. I have noticed that, I don't know whether it's the Football Ramble email box, and I think it might be the Football Ramble email box and the Luke and Pete email box. Someone has signed us up for a... I think it's a kind of like a free speech kind of channel, if that makes any sense.
Right.
Someone who's really angry about, I think they hosted a David Icke Facebook chat.
Right.
And unfortunately, Facebook in their particular situation, London Real. London Real. Brian Rose, founder and host from London Real. He's a man who is, it's a business accelerator program. Doesn't matter. Anyway, there is a there is a lone voice in the wilderness who has made a little TV sort of channel on Facebook. And I think they've been banned from Facebook. And basically, for the last few days, people have just been complaining to our email box that they shouldn't have been taken off Facebook. David Icke did a Facebook Live, I think, and they shouldn't have been taken off Facebook. And they are very angry. I've unsubscribed, but I'm really quite furious with the person who signed us up to that one because it really did clog up the email box and made it harder for me to do the emails on the Ramble this week. So boo to you, I say boo.
And God knows how much you do not need a barrier to doing reading out emails. Is that fair?
That is fair. I'll put up with people signing up to Patreon. We get an email every time someone signs up to Patreon, and that is very much welcomed. But the rest, beyond the pale for me, beyond the pale. Let everyone down there.
Absolutely. So what was the conclusion of the tinfoil hats? I mean, the other alternative headwear?
Just they don't work, so your skull's probably more effective from...
Your skull is fine as it is.
It's fine. It is. It's been designed quite well. Apparently, do you remember back in the day you'd be able to amplify the, I think it's probably RF signal of your car unlocker. You know, the little key ring thing.
Beep, beep, beep. Yeah, yeah.
You could amplify it by sticking it on your head because your head acts like a big antenna.
That is very nice stuff. I remember there being a rumor that you could basically get your mobile phone someone, so you could be like 8 miles away from your car. Phone someone who's next to your car on a mobile phone.
Right.
Put the phones together and click your key and it would unlock the car. Is that true?
Oh, well, I mean, it is. I don't know. It is RF, so I don't know what. Does that make like a. It transmits a little sound or a beep?
That's what the suggestion was, a binary beep.
So, yeah. But would it be outside the range of what a mobile phone sound wise would be looking for and therefore compressing and maybe on an old analog signal? I don't know. Interesting.
Well, the reason I asked
that. Google that.
The reason I asked that is because. I've got an app on my phone for my car that if I forget to lock it, it tells me and I can lock it with the app.
Right, okay.
But that's completely different, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of... Tesla obviously has a lot of apps in their little ecosystems. I was watching a guy who's like really tech savvy and he was talking about what apps he has on his phone. And like to own a Tesla, it seems you need about 10 apps, which is really weird.
I'm not surprised.
I also discovered quite recently that how Tesla batteries work. And I think I bored on the Ramble WhatsApp about it for quite a while because it was so exciting to me. The idea of the Tesla battery, I just assumed it was like a big one-piece car battery. I can hear you typing, saying, edit this out, Katie.
I was just having a drink.
Yeah, I thought it was like a big battery, like a big lithium ion battery, like, you know, maybe three or four in serial or parallel and like that. But it's not. It's literally like 7,000, if not more, maybe. Little ones, not much bigger than a AA battery. And they're all just in like packs with cooling solutions around it so they don't get too hot. And so presumably if one of the cells goes, the other ones can take over. So obviously it's a really sensible solution. But if you open a Tesla battery pack that is the entirety of the base of the car, you're just basically opening up something like 70,000 batteries. It's so weird. It's so weird, but I love it so much.
Are they all rechargeable?
Yeah, that's the very idea of an irrechargeable car, isn't it? But yeah, obviously, I would just assume that they would have specific, design things. But it's the same battery that you find in a lot of rechargeable stuff that you'd find in your house,
I would not expect that at all. I also read something a while back about Elon Musk saying, I mean, I know he says a lot of things, but he was saying that his company are quite close to developing a power cell that just lives on the wall of your house and you never have to have power again. I mean, it's all just done for you. Like, you don't need to get any kind of what's it called, like utilities to give you power again.
Yeah, you can only get it in America, I think. Certainly in the warmer states, you got your solar panels on the roof and it feeds the battery, and the battery just they're very expensive, but you do get, I think, dispensation from the government for using it. He's a tit, but some of his solutions are actually getting to market, which is more than can be said from a lot of the other companies who are obviously in the pocket of the oil industry. So,
and also, it's more than can be said than for your infant chip bowl helmet, which sadly never made market.
No, I am very much a man who will half-ass things and not see things through. you did promise us a little pressy of your Witcher 3, the Wild Hunt experience. Are you having a Wild Hunt on your Switch?
Yeah, that's right. I got a couple of bits of feedback on that. I mean, it won't be a very long It won't be a very long piece on this, I'll tell you. It won't need to be a pricey. It'll just be the entirety of what I've done.
Right.
So I've got a Nintendo Switch Lite, like the smaller one, which can't convert onto the TV.
Onto the TV, right.
And it's a little bit small for my hands, which is a little bit frustrating. And it's also matte finish. So it's a little bit slippery in my hands as well, which is not great.
Right.
And what I would say about The Witcher, though, is it's a very, very immersive, interesting game. But it's also quite hard and quite complicated. I mean, I've only just come out of the time sink that was No Man's Sky. And now I'm in this setup. Have you ever played it?
Played what? The Witcher?
Witcher, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I played right through it. Fantastic piece of entertainment. I actually gave at the Golden Joysticks 2017, I think, I gave an award to one of the creators of The Witcher 3. So in many ways, that's probably what spurred them on.
Yeah, maybe there'll be a Witcher 4 now after that ringing endorsement from Pete Dawson.
Oh, it is a work of art. It really is, and the idea that they've been able to convert it to the Switch is technically just incredible. But
yeah,
I can
imagine
you're not quite as into it if you're playing, without headphones on a Switch Lite. I could see that being a bit little problematic.
Well, I at some point I might try and essentially grab Mimi's. Others, because she's got basically the story is this, and it's just in many ways it's a story of marriage. I got a Switch, I enjoyed playing it. I played Breath of the Wild a lot. Mimi then discovered Animal Crossing, which means I can never get near the Switch ever again, to the point I've had to get another one so I can actually play the games I'd already bought for the Switch, which I now can't play. Basically,
Animal Crossing has managed to break through like no other version of that game. It was on the GameCube, it was on the Nintendo DS. I mean, you had grandmothers playing it until they're like, 95 and stuff. Like, it was a big game, but I've never seen a game being adopted. Maybe it's got something to do with the lockdown. I've never seen Tom Nook be taken to so many bosoms. I look at it and I go, I'm not going to play it. I just know I'm not going to play it. Just tidying up. grown turnips, tidying up.
Yeah, I've tried it and I haven't found it quite as arresting as others have found it. But I think it's probably one of those things where you need to get into the mindset. And because what I find with modern games, and this is a very much a layman's kind of point of view, and it came from when I was chatting to John Hare, who created Sensible Soccer. And we've got a Ramble Meets over on Football Ramble Daily coming out with him, because I just think Sensible Soccer is just such a work of genius. And when I had the chance to talk to him, I just really wanted to do it. He's an interesting guy, and he's achieved a lot in video games, as you will know better than me. But one of the things he said, which I found really resonated with me, is that games are a lot slower now, right? So, which is a kind of interesting prospect, because you'd think that the conventional wisdom says that people's attention spans are shorter. So something like Sensible Soccer, if you take the word of a football game compared to FIFA, you can play Sensible Soccer. You can play a match in Sensible Soccer in like 5 minutes. Whereas on FIFA, generally speaking, it probably takes about 20 minutes. But the thing is, interestingly, on things like The Witcher, I found there's so much narrative and so many scenes that you're just required to just watch so you know what's happening with the story, that it took me quite a long time to get used to it, because I'm used to, like a lot of people, I suppose, just skipping through things on video games. Yeah. And you can't really do that on The Witcher, because you need to immerse yourself in the story. It took me a while to work that out, actually.
Yeah, I mean, you're a big Game of Thrones fan, so I thought, you know, there are some good performances in there.
Oh, I love the aesthetic of it, and I love the acting and all that kind of, yeah, it's great, it's wicked, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I would probably sort of use the parallel of people wanting, financially, a bit more bang for the buck, because video games used to be, you know, 35 quid, 40, and now they're cracking into the 60s. So people want more replayability, and people want that sort of thing. But then there is the indie game aesthetic indie game scene that obviously produces games that are much shorter and much easier and quicker to get through. And also I'd sort of use the parallel of films. Like we watched the Arsenal Stadium mystery over on the Football Ramble on Monday, hour and 20, you know, everyone just does what they have to do and gets out as quickly as they can. That's what video games used to be. They were punishing, they were hard, and they would be quicker experiences, because if you were good at them, you could just sort of pile through them really quickly. But there wasn't as much content. But nowadays, people expect a bit more majesty and atmosphere, and the graphics have got better. So obviously, you know, staring at an 8x16 Jet Set Willy or Sonic the Hedgehog is a little less arresting and interesting than staring at the eyes of Geralt in The Witcher.
Yeah, I think it's horses for courses, though, because I think sometimes you do want a little blast, a little quick blast.
Yeah.
And sometimes you want to immerse yourself in something. But you're right about the cost of them. I mean, I think The Witcher's like 50 quid or something. So you do really should expect a bit of bang for your buck for that. But having said that, prices of electronics has come down a great deal, hasn't it, in the recent generations. So I think when my dad first got us a PC in our house, I mean, it was like the processing power of it. It was like a 386 or something. But I think it cost like $2,000.
Oh, it's crazy, absolutely crazy. I mean, they've become a lot more affordable, and people are willing to sort of shop around a little bit more. Have you ever put a Nintendo Switch cartridge in your mouth?
No, I haven't.
Do it.
No, thank you.
Do it. Have you got one? Are you in a room where you've got one?
No. Why? Tell me why I should do it.
I'm just interested. You know what? Let's take a break. We'll be back with some emails. You can just go and quickly grab a Nintendo Switch cartridge, and we'll do a little taste test, all right? Well, go and get it then, Luke.
I don't want to. Why am I doing this?
Go and get it.
All right, hang on. Okay, I've got one.
All right, cool.
Why am I doing this?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
And we are back with the Luke and Pete show, and we left you on tenterhooks as to how Luke would enjoy the physical sensation of putting a Nintendo Switch cartridge in his mouth. Luke, did you run off and get a Nintendo Switch cartridge?
I did. I just want to make sure that it doesn't ruin the game.
Well, just don't concentrate on the metal contacts. But no, it won't mess with the game. It should be fine. Okay. What game is it? Just so we can just get
the Witcher. I just pulled the game out of the Switch. Yeah.
Okie dokie. All right. So if you could just pop the Nintendo Switch cartridge into your mouth and tell us what it tastes like.
Okay. It's fucking disgusting. Yeah. It tastes disgusting. It tastes like that stuff you used to put on people's nails to stop them biting their nails.
Yes, it's so kids don't eat them.
Oh, is it really? That's a really good idea.
Yeah, because they're quite small, aren't they? Very chalkable. But
I'm just having a drink
specifically
of water.
made it taste disgusting.
it's absolutely horrendous. I can't get the taste off
my
tongue.
It's horrible, isn't it? shall we get on with some emails? If your tongue can bring
itself
to
form
words. All right, cool. Hello to Chris Williams, 1997. I mean, if you were really clever, you'd probably work out his email address on that. Actors are the true writing geniuses, says Chris Williams, 1997. Hi, lads. In response to Pete's meltdown, rude, over the use of improv in TV shows last week, I thought you'd find this little nugget of trivia interesting. According to the most reliable of sources, the IMDb trivia page, on the set of The Fugitive, Tommy Lee Jones actually improvised his famous "I don't care" line on the spot. The original line was apparently, "That isn't my problem." I'm sure you can agree that both lines are completely different with vastly different meanings that basically changed the entire story. Proof that all actors are the real masterminds. Who needs a script anyway? Love the show, Chris. Thank you very much. That made me giggle.
Yeah, Pete, you did go on an absolute meltdown, didn't you, last week? It's a textbook Donaldson rant.
It's a piss take. And then I think I went on to listen to another episode of the Office Ladies podcast in which they were covering an episode of the show where everyone brings their daughter to work. Bring your daughter to work day. I don't know why it's just daughters, but bring your daughter to work day. And... And all of the user questions, all of the listener questions were, was that actually that actor's son? Was that actually that actor's daughter? Are you fucking dumb? I mean, to be fair, in one situation, it was actually the actor's daughter. But, you know, he was one of the writers. It just makes me angry on behalf of craftsmen and craftswomen that I am not a part of. So I feel like I'm doing a good thing. By respecting actors and all that.
Martin Scorsese's mum's in it pretty much every one of his movies. She is.
Is she?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Cool.
She plays Joe Pesci's mum in Goodfellas. That's actually Scorsese's mum. She's in quite a lot of his movies. So it does happen, Pete. All I'm saying is you're getting weirdly irate about quite silly stuff.
I just think people are just silly.
Listen, let me bring you back round to Sunshine, because I've got an email here about Skitchin'.
Skitchin', baby!
Oh, yeah. It's from Gareth, and he says, "Hi, guys. Thanks for the shows. When I was much younger, I bought the game Skitchin' for the Mega Drive." Do you remember it?
Yeah, I do. I do remember Skitchin' for the Mega Drive.
He says, "In my memory, it didn't actually involve skateboards. Players had to hitch a ride with various cars by holding onto them wearing rollerblades."
Yes, that's right. Because, that's mainly where I remember the word Skitchin' from, because it was like it sort of looked a little bit like Road Rash, if you remember that game on the old Mega Drive. We've got very video gamey this time around, but so you'll have to put up with it, guys. Sorry, but Skitchin', great little video game. We've got some good reviews.
Yeah, he says the cars in question were not limited to civilian ones, but also included police cars, and the name came from a portmanteau of skating and hitching. The point of the game was to get to your destination before your rivals, who you were allowed to punch and kick in order to impede them. Various objects were to be found lying around that could be used as impromptu ramps to make the player fly into the air. In a nod to health and safety, the game did have a warning at the start, which it was not possible to skip, telling players, "Don't even dream of skitching for real." Well, I do still have the Mega Drive, says Gareth. I don't have a copy of the game anymore because I sold it to my maths teacher, who gave it to his children. Your conversation has brought back happy memories of trying to master the most ridiculous sport, skitching. Keep up the good work, Gareth.
I just think I should get into skitching. I should order myself some rollerblades. And I've seen quite a lot of rollerblades in town, to be fair. People just scooting around. No skitching, though. I might get into it. People would probably spot me quicker than usual, hanging off the back of their Ford Cortina. But, you know, there's a risk you got to make when you're trying to make your name as a famous skitcher. Apparently, drug dealers are getting spotted very, very easily by police crossing county lines, because obviously there aren't as many cars on the road. So they're kind of quite easy to spot. So the drug purity has gone down massively.
Do you reckon, like, if you were to be skitching down the street, someone would point and go, "That man looks old to be skitching. He must be approaching 40. What's he doing skitching?"
Is that man like a... Yeah, but I could be like the original skitcher. I could be like the Tony Hawk of skitching.
True.
Or the Mike Caballero. I think he's a skater. Was he the guy? I think he beat someone up on a video once.
I think there'd be another sort of person next to him saying, "Well, I've seen some old skitchers and I've seen some bold skitchers, but I've never seen an old bold skitcher."
in Amerikamura, a place in Osaka, Japan, there is an old bloke who must be pushing 60, who is he's just a skateboarder, and he just tootles around in this kind of really small square. It actually looks like a level from Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2. In this really small square, they call Amerikamura, simply because somebody at one point put a Statue of Liberty up, and a lot of the shops sell skatewear and stuff. But this guy just does nollies and kickflips downstairs. And a lot of the kids who are in Amerikamura at the time, they actually wear T-shirts with his face on it. It's really weird.
Huh.
And that is why I love Amerikamura in Osaka.
What does Mura stand for? What does that mean?
Town, I think. America Town.
Oh, okay. So it's America Town, basically. Mm. Mm. How interesting. All right, interesting. Well, I think that's just about all we've got time for around.
We talked about The Witcher and Skitch. The Witcher and the Skitcher.
On the Switch.
On the Switcher.
Yeah. Do stick around, though, because we'll be back on Monday. So let us know what you want us to talk about on Monday by emailing hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. We'd love to hear about how you're getting on in lockdown, any life hacks you've got, any other bits and pieces you're up to, any techniques from working from home, any little cheats you're doing around home working, all that good stuff.
All that good stuff. How to make your Switch cartridges taste better, maybe add some pumpkin.
Yeah, could do that. Put some canned pumpkin all over him. Maybe you could. You've been skitching around your house, down your hallway, or down your stairs. But don't even dream of trying to do it for real. All right.
Yeah.
That is it for this time. I've been Luke. He's been Pete. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Piss off.
was a Stakhanov production.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.